Genesis chapter 15 will be our text this evening. In this chapter here we have Abram, or Abraham as he was to become, one of these dark nights of the soul, as one would say. Dark nights of the soul. Abraham had a number of things that were concerning him, and I'm going to highlight three of them this evening. And we are to rejoice in the sense that God met all his needs, and God addressed all his concerns. And I want to give a title to the meditation tonight, which is, Do Not Be Afraid. Do not be afraid. We're living in times when our media is very powerful, and day after day they are telling us things that no doubt are true, particularly about coronavirus and such like. And we might be inclined to be afraid. Would you be open and honest enough to say that there will be times in your life as a believer that you are afraid? Well, we have here Abram, the father of the faithful, and he was afraid. And as we shall see, he was not afraid to voice his cares and his concerns to the Lord his God. And really, friends, it may seem very simplistic, but it's true that if the Lord our God is our God, if he is our Lord, if he is our Saviour, we have no reason to be afraid of anything. I realise that's much easier to say than it is to live it out, but that is the reality. If God is truly our God, then all our fears should evaporate in an ideal situation. As I said, Abram had three great concerns that were troubling him. We left him the last time we looked at him 2 weeks ago. He was victorious. There was a battle between five kings and four kings. The five kings, you would think, ordinarily should win, but they didn't. The four kings overcame them, and in the process, Lot was captured. Abraham mustered his troops, and he went out to recapture Lot and to take him back. And he fought against the four kings, and obviously, we're inclined to believe, with divine help, he overcame the enemy and rescued everyone and had a great victory. And we find him here in chapter 15, where it says, verse 1, after these things, that's the battles that I was talking about, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And the first thing really that we want to notice in the introduction is, Abram was afraid. He was afraid. Otherwise the Lord would not have come and addressed him in that manner. Fear not. Why not, Abraham? Why? Why are you fearful? Well, very often, friends, in the Christian life, once we experience some kind of highs, very often the lows will come. We could think of Elijah and his wonderful experience on Mount Carmel. And after that, he kind of went low. Same thing happened here, we would say, to Abram. And he had some reasons why he should be afraid, from a merely a human point of view. He had defeated the four kings. But we are not to think for one minute that the four kings would not reassemble, would not gather some fresh troops and go and try to seek to sort out this Hebrew who had brought about a terrible defeat upon them. We're not to think for one minute that we're going to take that lying down. Here was a stranger, a foreigner, and he had overcome them. It's very possible they would mount up some kind of opposition. And also, you think of those people whom he rescued, his neighbours. They would probably look at him in a different light now. They would see him as something mighty and powerful. Look, he defeated these four kings that we couldn't defeat, and he's still on our patch. What's he going to do? Will he come and take us? So they might have looked upon him with some kind of suspicion. And it may well be that in the troublous times that he lived in, that they might even plan to come and attack Abram. Whatever, the Lord knew his situation. And this is the first thing we want to consider. This was the first concern that Abram had. It was his safety. He was concerned about his safety, and God knew it. And he addressed it. He says, "Fear not, Abram. You shouldn't be fearful. Why should I not be fearful? Because I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." In other words, I will protect you. It is me that has brought about this wonderful victory. It is me that has taken you from the Ur of the Chaldees. It's me that has brought you out of where you were. And when you went down to Egypt, I took you out of there. I've been looking after you all this time. Since ever you accepted my call to leave Ur of the Chaldees, God had been looking after Abram continually. And he was not going to stop. I am thy shield. Yes, Abraham was one who had his own little army. He had them well armed and well trained. He did what he could. But ultimately, God was the one who had been protecting him. And God was not going to abandon him. No matter the opposition that he might encounter, the Lord knew his situation. The Lord knew the very fears of his heart, the very emotions that maybe he wasn't clear about himself. God knew it, and God addressed it. And there, at that time, told him, "I am thy shield." And he goes on to say, "And thy exceeding great reward." It is possible. Abraham was human. It is possible. Abraham, in the quietness of the victory and settling down and getting back to life again, he might have said to himself, "Was I wise not to take any of the spoil? I was the one who ventured out. I brought about the victory. Surely I should have taken something. Maybe I didn't act wisely and prudently." The Lord tells him here, "I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Whatever you've given up because you've followed me, you will never be a loser." That's what God is saying there. "Because I am your reward." What a reward to have God as your reward. Not possessions, not money, not people, but God himself. "I am thy reward." As you will know, Genesis is the first book in the Bible. And there are many firsts that happen in Genesis. And here we have one or two in this chapter. In the first verse, we are told, "After these things, the word of the Lord came." That's the first time it's ever happened, it's ever recorded for us in the book of Genesis. And we do find it recorded here twice. God is proactive. God is addressing a situation. "The word of the Lord came to Abraham." And you know this, friends, we could easily miss it if we don't look at it without some kind of depth. He says unto Abraham, "Fear not, believer. Fear not, follower." No, it's "fear not, Abram."
He knew his name. He knew his name. The one who knows the names of all the stars and all the planets, and the one who has put all these things in place, he knew the name of his child. Fear not, Abram. God would protect him. God was his reward. And again, we have another first here. Fear not. Oh no, we know that this is repeated throughout the scriptures, but it's the first time in the Bible that we have God saying, fear not. And he repeated this to Isaac and to Jacob and to other of the saints, fear not. And tonight, friends, the word of God is clear to us that if truly we are the children of God, if we have the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior, if we are united to him by faith, we can appropriate this promise for ourselves. We are not to fear. Not to fear. Because we have the eternal God as our refuge, and he is the one who provides protection for all of his people, and he knows all by their name. Is it not true today that we're known by numbers? You go to the bank doesn't know your name, knows your number. You go to buy your groceries, it's by a number. Everything's by a number. You go to the health centre, what do they want? They want your date of birth. It's a number, it's a number. Not with God. It's a name. He knows us. And this is the concern that God addresses really in this first verse here. Abraham was insecure. And he wanted safety. He wanted security. And God gave it to him. Fear not, I am thy shield. Abraham was fearful. And you know, friends, God's I am overcomes I am not. Is that not true? How often we meet any kind of situation, how often we meet a situation that overwhelms us and we say to ourselves, I am not. Well, we need to look and to turn back and to recognize that God says to us in these situations, I am. I am thy shield. The answer to Abram's fear was God's presence. That's what he had. I am. A wonderful comfort to the people of God. Well, the second thing we would notice from this chapter here is the other concern that he had, secondly, was his heir. His heir. And that's found in verses 2 to 6 that we read. Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And what he's really saying here, Abram, what he's saying is, when he says, see, I go childless, he's saying, I'm going the way of all the earth. I'm getting an old man. And by natural generation, according to nature, there is no way can I father a child with Sarah. They were going to be well past the age of childbearing, both of them. And that's what he's saying, I am going childless. Yet you have promised me an heir. And so far you have not fulfilled this promise. Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. What we need to notice here is that Abram was reverent, of course, but he was open. And he was frank. And he was straight to the point with the Lord his God. God had promised this. He had been out of Ur of the Chaldees now for about 10 years. And as we shall see later, the promise was being more and more revealed unto him. He was first told in Genesis chapter 12, come out to a land I will show thee. And then he was told that the land his seed would have. But he had no seed. Yes, he was in the land, he didn't possess it, but he had no heir. And this is what he brought before the Lord his God, because this was a real concern to Abram. And he had this opportunity, he had the ear of God, and he was going to speak to God about it. Bring it to his attention. It's very important to notice that Abram does not complain about God. He doesn't. But he complains to God. There is a world of difference. We may have cares, we may have concerns, and who does not? And who might think that God is not working in their lives? We might think that situations are not as we would like them to be for many of us. And we recognize that God is sovereign in all these matters. And we might say to ourselves, what is the Lord doing? Well, in all our frustrations, we are never to complain about God. But it's not wrong to bring our complaints to God. And if we can understand the difference, there's a world of difference, because the Lord answered his prayer. The Lord revealed it to him, what he would do. And Abraham was to realize that in the school of faith, that's where he was. He was someone in the school of faith. God was preparing him and Sarah for the great work that lay ahead. But he had to be prepared. And in that school of faith, he must learn that God's will must be fulfilled in God's way and in God's time. He was promised an heir. But he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. Do you know how long it took for that promise to be fulfilled from this point on? Remember, he's been 10 years out of the Ur of the Chaldees till he comes to this point. God tells him he's going to have an heir. Do you know how long he had to wait? Another 15 years before that promise was fulfilled. And basically, this is the point. Basically, God wanted Abraham and Sarah to be as good as dead in order to fulfill the promise. That everyone might recognize this was God's work. This was God's work. Well, what are we told? Verse 5. And he brought him forth abroad and said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. You cannot count the stars. You cannot. And what God was saying to Abram, your descendants will be like that. And if ever Abram got depressed or worried about God fulfilling his promise again, if the outlook didn't look good, all he had to do was to look up. And he would be reminded that's God's promise. In the dark night, this was going to be the promise. That Abraham would have a seed that could not be numbered. In verse 6 we are told, and he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. This is the first time that in the book of Genesis that Abraham's faith is referred to. This is a very striking verse. It's a verse that is commented on, quoted on Romans chapter 4, Galatians chapter 3, and James chapter 2. And there are three basic words in it that are the Christian's meat and drink, if you like. Verse 6, and he believed. Believed. You'll find that's Paul expounds what it means to truly believe in Galatians chapter 3. To believe, because the Galatians were believing another gospel. But no, you are to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Believing is so important. And then we have the other word, and he counted it, and he counted it to him. What's another word for this? Imputed. Imputed. And that's what we find in Romans chapter 4. There Paul expounds imputation. How that Christ's righteousness is imputed to the believer. Credited to the believer. Counted to the believer. And then the other word is righteousness. And of course James expounds upon that in James chapter 2. Faith without works is dead. True righteousness is to be seen by works. Not that we're justified by works, but those who are truly justified, they will demonstrate it by their righteous living. So, here we have this wonderful verse. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. One commentator said this, and it's spot on. It sums up exactly what happened here. Promises do us no good unless we believe them and act upon them. Abraham had received that promise and he believed it. In other words, he said, Amen, God. Amen, Lord. He truly believed that the Lord was able to fulfill that promise and would fulfill that promise. Do you know, we are not saved by making promises to God. No, but by leaving the promises of God. That's what it is to be justified by faith. That is what it is to be right in the sight of God. We believe his promises. And Abraham got this wonderful promise and he believed in it. And we're told it was counted to him for righteousness. And it's the same for every single one of us. If we're to believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, we must rest upon him and upon him entirely and exclusively for our salvation. That's what Abraham did. He rested upon it. He was satisfied with this. And it was imputed to him, or counted unto him for righteousness. He had a care. He had a concern. It was a lack of heir. At this point he had no one, but he was promised he would. And therefore the answer to Abraham's concern about his heir was God's promise, I will. I will. I will do this. And Abraham believed upon it. Well, we said he had three cares, three concerns. One was his safety, one was his heir, and the third one was his land. And this is dealt with in the remaining verses from 7 to 21. He said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, that is Abraham, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And the Lord tells him to take some animals and to cut these animals in half, apart from the birds. And here the Lord entered into a covenant with Abram. And what we call this is to cut a covenant. It was a normal thing in these days when writing probably would not have been known or would not be practiced among many people. And therefore, to verify contracts, this is the way they did it. They cut a covenant. And they took the animals, they cut them in half, they put a path between one animal here, another animal there, and a path between it. And the two parties engaged in the covenant would walk between the animals that had been divided. And what the parties were saying in effect, if we do not, or if we do not meet the terms of the covenant, let us be cut like the animals. In other words, let our lives be taken from us. Let us die. That's what they were saying. That's the covenant that God entered into with Abram. And in effect, God is saying to Abram, let me die if I will not fulfill this covenant. Let what has happened to these animals happen to me if I do not fulfill the terms of the covenant. And there the Lord promised him a land. And we know that fowls came down in verse 11 upon the carcasses, and Abram drove them away. And after this he fell into a deep sleep, and it was revealed to him what would happen to his descendants. And he was told himself that he would not enter or possess the promised land. He would die and go to be with his fathers. His descendants would go into captivity. And after 400 years, they would come out and they would take possession of the land. So he was told this was going to happen a long time. And we are told a deep sleep fell upon him, and a horror of great darkness fell upon him. Now that may well be because of what he was told, that he himself would not possess the land, and that his descendants would be mistreated, and they would go into a foreign land, and ultimately they would come out and then take possession. And maybe that's what brought upon him this great horror of darkness. But there could also be another reason, or an additional reason. And we go back to what we said before, because the two parties would walk in the middle of this where the animals were, and they would vow that if they did not keep their side to the covenant, that they would die. Well, Abraham recognized, we're inclined to think, that he could not keep this covenant. He could not keep it. He began to realize the implications of it. And he recognized this was beyond him. And we're told in verse 17, and it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. Here we're inclined to believe this is a theophany. This was God alone who walked in the midst of the slain animals. He has covenanted to keep this covenant. Abraham couldn't. It was beyond him. He began to recognize the implications of it. And as well as no doubt thinking about his offspring and what would happen to them, he realized this covenant was beyond him. But the Lord had promised that this would be his land. Well, friends, there is something of relevance to the Christian today. Because Abram was promised the heir, and the heir came. The heir is a type of Christ. And our heir, the Lord Jesus Christ, has come. And he has laid down his life. What has he laid down his life for? He has laid down his life ultimately for to take his people to heaven. And the land that Abraham was sworn to get is a type of heaven. Canaan was a type of heaven. And this is to remind us and to encourage us that the Lord has entered into a glorious and unbreakable covenant, the covenant of grace. And this reveals this covenant to us. It is revealing that wonderful, gracious, glorious covenant that God has made with his people in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the heir came and did all that was required to secure heaven for his people, so this covenant here mirrors that and reminds us of the faithfulness and the greatness and the glory of our God. That one who cannot fail. That one who has staked his own reputation upon this unbreakable covenant. Abram was concerned about his safety. Abram was concerned about his heir. Abram was concerned about his land. And God met all his cares and all his concerns. What he has done for Abram, he has done for all his people. We will have cares. We will have concerns. We will have things that will cause our hearts to be broken sometimes. We are not to be afraid. God is one who is looking after his people continually. Without exception. Fear not, Abram. Fear not, believer. Do not be afraid. Trust. Trust in the Lord. Verses 19 to 21 tell us that these are the peoples that currently occupied the promised land. But they would all be removed. They would all go out, and God's people, Abraham's descendants, would occupy the land. So Abraham had no need to be afraid, and neither does a believer. It calls for faith. It calls to believe his promises and act upon them, knowing that God's word will not in any sense return unto him void. Do not be afraid. Amen. And may God bless his word to us.